The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.
Trash is picked up by Bobby Berwood.
He's back, and he's back with a bang.
Here are your hosts, Richard Fleming and Connor McGahee.
Greetings. You found the Rapids podcast. Lots to get to this week and plenty of voices contributing also. The Rapids head back out on the road this weekend to LA Galaxy. The third of four successive road games and comes during the international window. No Tim Howard or Mikael Williams, therefore. They're off of the USA and Trinidad and Tobago, respectively. Alan Gordon is suspended, but there could be a debut for Stefan Aigner. All of that to come, but first we'll hear from Tim Howard as the USA resume their World Cup qualifying program with a home game against Costa Rica before a trip to Honduras next Tuesday. The U.S. sits third in the standings on 8 points from six games. Only the top three teams are guaranteed automatic qualification to the World Cup in Russia next summer. Tim Howard is expected to start against Costa Rica inside Red Bull Arena on Friday night. He was asked for the side's aim over the next two games, and his answer won't surprise you.
6 points is obviously, you know, I think we'd always like to get 6 points, and as we get closer, We need to win at home. I think that's a no-brainer. But we also have to flip-flop one of the results that happened in November. You know, World Cup qualifying is about winning your home games and at least getting a point on the road. And for us to get 0 points in those two games early on, we have to obviously find a way to win away from home. And I think Honduras would be a great spot, and it would put us in a really good position to either qualify that night or hopefully the next. You know, in regards to my club career, you know, I think I have two more seasons left after this. That sounds about right. I'm sure there'll be some people who want me out before that, but you know, if I can keep myself fit and healthy at this stage, it's just about trying to stay healthy and be on the field. Takes up all my time trying to do that, as I've mentioned before. Internationally, who knows? God, I'm trying to get through this game and the next, and then, you know, it's all about getting selected and hoping we can all be a part of leading this team to World Cup and then getting to World Cup after that. Who knows? You know, the makeup of this team I keep talking about is probably the best that I've seen, and the reason for that is we've got a really good nucleus of young guys. I know Christian gets all the attention, rightfully so, but we've got a bunch of young guys, Jordan Morris, Kellen Acosta, you know, kids who aren't afraid to spotlight. And then I think a lot of credit goes to the older veterans in this group. You know, we've got some guys who are superstar names who are getting older, who have, you know, under Bruce's tutelage have decided that they'll take any role that's offered to them and help the team, you know, and I think with the national team, you don't see that a lot. You know, when you're an older superstar, most guys just kind of throw their hands up and say, I don't need to travel, I don't need the headache, I need to play every minute, and that's not what this group is about. So I think from top to bottom, the team is structured really well to not only be a team, be a good team, but to compete at every level. I think the fans are probably more hyped up and excited than we are right now. You know, we're trying to focus in and put the game plan in place, and you know, they know what's at stake. I'm from this area. You know, I played for the Metro Stars. Some people probably don't even know that, but you know, this was a pipe dream, the stadium in Harrison. You know, and for it to be there and to actually be playing games, you know, there's no crowd like playing in front of your home crowd for me. So they'll be excited. They'll be ready. You know, I don't think I need to speak much about hyping the game up. It'll be a full house, and they'll be ready. I'm very comfortable with the guys that I'm playing with. You know, we didn't have Brooksy, we didn't have DeAndre in the Gold Cup. I thought we were rock solid. And again, you know, I point back to the Trinidad game and the Mexico game. Bruce calls in 23 to 25 players who he's prepared to play, because, you know, we can get a result, and we did that against Trinidad and changed the team a couple of days later. And, you know, people thought it might be a fluke, but there was a purpose behind it. So whoever steps in and on this roster is expected to perform, so it shouldn't be a problem.
We wish the USA all the very best. And that brings us to the return of Dylan Gannon.
Connor, it's great to be back. Yes, very, very good to be back. I think there was a Stain song, I believe. It goes, it's been a while. Good. I'm glad you know the song, otherwise I'd have to sing the whole thing, and that would be the end of the podcast.
That was a jam for me back in the day.
Back in 1960 or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about my lack of singing talent, your lack of singing talent, or Rich's lack of singing talent. We are here to talk about some soccer, and specifically, the recent international call-ups. As we all know, as you just discussed, or if you weren't paying attention, now you know, that countries are getting ready for their upcoming World Cup qualifiers. Now, this is clearly a big honor for everyone that is being called into their countries. And in this cycle specifically, we're going to be seeing 89 players from MLS called in to play for their country.
Yeah, and that shows, I mean, how far the league has come over the even the past couple seasons.
For sure. In fact, just 2 years ago, only 59 players were called into their respective countries, which could mean that other countries are finally starting to take notice of MLS.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think David Villa being called up to Spain for the first time in 3 years really proves that. You look at some of the major countries out there, looking at you, Italy, not selecting Sebastian Giovinco, who is I mean, it's a discussion for another time, but is he the greatest MLS player ever? I mean,
yes.
How many goal of the week candidates do you want? He's going up against himself this week, by the
way.
But they automatically reject the thought of calling up a player simply because they play in MLS. Now, are we on the same level as the Premier League, the Bundesliga, or La Liga? No. However, some of our best players are good enough to compete against some of the best out there.
Definitely. And as Joshua Gatt said in our Facebook Live Q&A the other day, he thinks that the play in MLS is more athletic. There's more athleticism, more physicality than some of the other leagues that are out there. And it took him a while to come back from Europe over here to adjust to that. Some of the other countries out there, they may have technically better players, and they may play a more finesse style of play, and respect to them for that. There's nothing wrong with that. But MLS does not have the depth of some of those leagues that you mentioned. So I think that many people tend to overlook their American sides because we don't play a pretty style of soccer yet. But hey, teach their own. Now here's a question for you. Does it hurt MLS by still playing matches during this break with 90 players being called in? Granted that there are only 4 matches, and the Rapids match wasn't supposed to be one of them.
Right.
Remember, we were supposed to play on May 31st, but still got rescheduled.
Yeah, it's a fine line, because while it's great to see all those players being called in, you also want your league to be putting out the strongest teams as possible every single week. It's never easy losing a leader like Tim Howard, or if you're Chicago, Dax McCarty. He's a big loss when you're in a slump, but you have to remember that a lot of these teams on the other side are missing players, too. Rapids not having to face either of the Dos Santoses is a win and should hopefully help them this Saturday. I do think that it dilutes the very product that MLS has worked very hard to build and improve. They shot about the many international players being lured to the league and yet allow matches to be played at a time when those players are missing. No other leading leagues take this approach, and as a fan, which I have been literally since day one at Mile High Stadium, I would buy a ticket if I could, expecting to see the stars that they're talking about.
And that's something you see in the NBA when, you know, the Spurs rest their whole team and they still win by 20. You have LeBron James sitting, but obviously that's besides the point. However, you do want to see the best players on the field, but you have to respect and understand that there is nothing like playing for your national team. And the clubs understand that as well. And with the season being so long, it would be hard for MLS to try to expand the season by another week or so because you're already playing MLS Cup mid-December. You can't extend the season into January. I mean, because obviously that's when preseason starts and it's unnecessary. And while midweek matches are tough on travel and attendances aren't as high, I mean, I think right now that's still something you have to kind of go through right now as MLS continues their growth. And right now 3.0, but maybe MLS 4.0 down the road. But hopefully we see 3 points from our boys this weekend in LA and 6 points from the red, white, and blue. Connor, as always, I appreciate you.
Pleasure is all mine, Dylan Gannon. So the Rapids without a road win in 2017, we know that. Minnesota finally got theirs, winning at Chicago this past weekend. But this Saturday could be their best chance to put that straight. The Galaxy have the worst home record in the league at 1-8-4. They've lost more home games this season than in any of the previous 21 seasons. They are without a win in 10 and without a home win since April 7th when they defeated Montreal Impact 2-0. As a franchise, they still sit on 199 regular season home wins all time. Please, let's not be number 200. Richard Fleming joins me, the TV voice on Altitude. Before we leap ahead to the Galaxy game, I'm afraid we need to tiptoe, and I mean tiptoe back through the tulips to last weekend and the 4-1 loss at Real Salt Lake. I watched it live on scene. Your thoughts on 4-1 loss to Real Salt Lake briefly?
Yeah, well, as we know, it was a promising start. I think the first 20, 25 minutes or so. And during that spell, and we've said it so many times, when the Rapids are hot, they need to take advantage because that momentum doesn't last. The Rapids have not had 90 minutes this season of games where they've been absolutely red hot. So it was vital. Mikael Williams needed to do better with his close range chance. And obviously the two best chances that the Rapids had both fell to defenders. Eric Miller with the other one that hit the post. But defensive discipline, something that this side prided itself on in 2016, let them down and let them down on a number of occasions last weekend. Alan Gordon, we know, at the other end lost his cool. It was fabulous to see Joshua Gatt get on the score sheet. But then at 2-1, and I know that we were into that 6 minutes of stoppage time, the side kind of forgot their defensive. Now, whether they forgot their defensive roles, whether they forgot the defensive responsibilities, but certainly discipline went awry, and they gave up two late, very soft goals. Not good enough. This was a side that was not good enough. And we've seen it in other games that the Rapids have played. And funnily enough, when the Rapids played RSL here two or three seasons ago, when RSL had a man sent off just after half time, the Rapids were already a goal down. But they couldn't get back into the game. They lost that game 1-0. This is a side, the Rapids, that is a workmanlike team. In other words, they create many of their chances off set pieces, corner kicks and free kicks around the box. Where they struggle is as a passing side, and a better, and I said this on the call last weekend, a better passing side would have exploited the man advantage far better than the Rapids did last weekend. And so I think that's where, because the passing game wasn't good enough, they were unable to truly hurt RSL when they hand that man up. And I look, at the final whistle, Marcelo Balboa and I both agreed, you know, we get paid to talk for a living, but I was genuinely lost for words at the end of that game against RSL. What I will say, and obviously both of us in firm agreement, these are decent people, these are honest players, and they are working their socks off to try and turn this around. The coaches are working hard to turn this thing around and to try to figure out what is and what isn't working. And they are so desperate, not just to go into this weekend and get a win in LA, but they are just so desperate to finish the season strong over the next nine games. It's absolutely disappointing. It's frustrating. It's puzzling, bearing in mind where the side was last year. But as I say, you could almost take the RSL game and say that one game kind of typified the season as a whole. That encapsulated all that has gone wrong with the season. Shape, balance, discipline, decision-making, finishing, all in one game. And sadly, it was against our fiercest rivals.
The Rocky Mountain Cup lost for another season to our neighbors in Utah. Difficult not to dwell, but all we can do is look forward and to this weekend's visit to StubHub Center to meet the side just one place above the Rapids, LA Galaxy. Incredible, absolutely fascinating, the season they've had at home. Only Toronto have won more road games than the Galaxy, and Toronto is in the mix for one of the best MLS teams of all time. Yet, they've been appalling at home. Why, Richard Fleming?
Well, let's just look at some of the numbers first of all. As you've already mentioned, 1-8-4 at home. They've conceded 24 goals at home. They've scored just 10. At home in 13 games. Historically, LA's dominance across the league, across regular seasons, has been because, or certainly has been built around, their home form. In those 13 games, they've been shut out 7 times at home and have failed to find the net in the last 4 home games. That is a franchise record. 4 shutouts in a row. The last time they scored at home, the 4th of July, when they lost 6-2. 6-2 at home to Real Salt Lake. Ashley Cole and Bradford Jameson, the 4th, the scorers. Now, many will look at that game and suggest that's where LA hit rock bottom. 6-2 drubbing, the worst loss the team had ever suffered at home in club history, while also tying the record for most goals conceded at home. And anybody that's followed the Galaxy this year has probably been asking themselves that very question. Why so good on the road and why so abysmal at home? Some have suggested that this is a Galaxy side that has given up the first goal at home far too often. And believe it or not, the effort has been openly questioned. The effort of the players has been openly questioned by the players themselves. Now, of course, we'd love to have that run, that sorry run, extended under the lights in Carson, California at the weekend. But then you look at their season as a whole. They've lost 14 of their 25 games, only two previous seasons. 2006, when they lost 15 games, and 1997, which, of course, was before ties were introduced, they lost 16. So, historically, this is turning into one of the worst seasons in LA Galaxy in their franchise history. But, like the Rapids, they changed their coach mid-season. Curt Analfo was out. Ziggy Schmidt has come in. Dominic Kinnear has joined them as an assistant coach just this week. And yeah, they've lost the likes of Robbie Keane, Landon Donovan, Steven Gerrard, Bruce Arena as head coach. But aside, and of course, Yuli Van Damme, lost him mid-August. But aside with the likes of the Dos Santos brothers, Jermaine Jones, Ashley Cole, and Alessandrini, it's a side that should be doing better. That, to me, suggests that the peripheral players, the fringe players, the other squad players are clearly not good enough. Alessandrini should return this weekend. He missed last weekend's 3-0 home loss to San Jose. His girlfriend went into labour ahead of schedule. As I said, Gio and Jonathan Dos Santos are both with the Mexican national team. And Nathan Smith will be suspended. He's the second successive game that LA had a man sent off. Ashley Cole the game before. So Cole should return, should be back in contention. I would imagine Jermaine Jones, who's been on the bench, was on the bench for the last game, will come into the equation this weekend. But it's amazing that these two sides, and we were sat here in the sunshine, kind of late fall, watching the penalty shootout between the Rapids and LA. Incredible to think that 10 months on, these two sides that were battling to get into the Western Conference Championship game and now battling to avoid being the bottom team in all of MLS. And
with
the way that their seasons...
with a less than 1% chance of making the postseason.
Yeah, but the way that both of these sides, the way that their seasons have turned around, or the last 12 months has turned around, has been staggering. So this weekend, the worst home record in the league against the worst road record in the league, you hope that something gives. But we come back to, this is arguably the best chance the Rapids will have of finally breaking that that run of going without a road victory. But they've got to go in, they've got to do the business, they've got to be positive, and hopefully give them a little bit of a spark for the remaining, what will be then, 8 games.
Saturday's game is an 8 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Mountain kickoff, live coverage on TV and radio, Richard and Jordan Angeli on television. I'll be on AM 950 Altitude Sports Radio. Also, you can hear the game in Spanish via La Invasora 87.7 FM. And so to our first interview, as Tim Howard is with the U.S. national team, Zach McMath returns following knee surgery and steps back in for his 8th appearance of the season. I caught up with him after training on Thursday.
Zach, first of all, welcome back. But then I have a question for you. Do you remember where you were 6 years ago this weekend?
No idea.
September 3rd, 2011, you were making your MLS debut as the second half sub at RSL. Start ringing a bell?
Yes, definitely remember that.
Danny Mwanga was on Philly, former Rapid and Portland Timber, and Luis Gil was playing on the other side for RSL. So we're 6 years later, and first of all, does it feel like 6 years?
No, feels like a longer time, to be honest. it's been a good long journey for me. I'm happy with just being back on the field again after one of my first big injuries.
Yeah, and it was that, and that was where I was going next, is obviously tore the meniscus, had the surgery, and now you're back, I think, ahead of schedule. Is that seems to be the case?
Yeah, we are about a half a week ahead of schedule, which is great, and we'll be around 5 weeks when we play on Saturday.
Good, so you're back to 100%, no issues?
No issues.
Beautiful. So, I mean, this is a good time to come in. And, I mean, obviously, L.A., just one win at home. I mean, it's hard to not talk about that from our standpoint. But what about you guys? You have to know that the league's worst home team.
Yeah. I mean, they're in a similar position to us, not in a great run of form. And, you know, just really all a bunch of guys praying for their jobs, a bunch of guys trying to stick together in, you know, a tough situation. So we're just going out there and worrying about ourselves and hoping to just get something out of the season and, you know, hopefully hopefully we can do that this weekend against LA.
You know, a couple games you had to sit in the stands and watch from afar. It's sort of a switch of the point of view. Did you have any different thoughts watching from press boxes and the like?
You know, I got to see a little bit of, you know, where we struggle in certain areas and certain games. But I think I'll just use that knowledge to help the guys that I'm playing with this weekend and hopefully, you know, limit mistakes that happened against Salt Lake and against Portland.
Sure. And it was sort of specifically, what were those and what would you talk to the guys about?
Just staying together. You know, we're a good defending team when we defend tight and around the box. And, you know, obviously in Salt Lake, we got pulled out a little bit when the game got a little bit stretched. And, you know, not allowing the game to get stretched, make it as difficult as possible against LA and hopefully find a goal somewhere in the 90 minutes.
You know, and hopefully that's the case. And, of course, with this new sort of attitude of attacking, it may make it a little bit harder on you. I know Tim, when he's played, has had to come out and sort of be that fifth defender. Not a problem for you, but maybe a little bit more strenuous on a goalkeeper?
Yeah, especially not having played a full game in a long time, just kind of getting used to the speed and the defenders of everyone. But, you know, happy to be out there and hopefully can help the team towards a victory.
Perfect. Well, Zach, thanks very much as always. I appreciate it, and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Colorado Rapids 2018 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss out on the action as the Rapids take the field for 17 home matches at Dick's Sporting Goods Park next season.
And it's Marlon Hairston in the blink of an eye. They're back on level terms. This is some contest.
Go to coloradorapids.com to find out about the exclusive season ticket member benefits, including meet the team party, game day experiences, and stadium discounts. Go to coloradorapids.com.
A reminder that the next home game is against New York City FC on Saturday, September 16th, the day after the USA women's team tackle New Zealand here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, and the day before the annual season ticket member meet the team party, which is being held at the stadium after 2 years at Elitch's. Back to business and back to our player chats. He's again been Mr. Consistent in the heart of the Rapids midfield. He crept over 2,000 minutes last weekend, the first Rapids player to do so, and managed his second assist of the season as well. Here's Richard Fleming with Michael Azira.
For you, it's been, 4-2-3-1, there's been 4-3-3. How have you found the new responsibility in this 4-3-3 formation?
I think it's good, and it gives us more numbers in the middle, and I think it gives us more chances to go forward. And I like it that way because most of the teams are playing with three in the middle and sometimes five in the middle, but at least that gives you a chance in the middle instead of chasing your tails, you know. But I think it's good to have more people in the middle.
Two assists now this season. That's three assists for the Rapids. We're still waiting for that first MLS goal, but recently you had a bit of a dip from distance. Are you feeling that you're able to contribute in kind of both halves of the field?
Yeah, you know, because with having more people in the middle, it gives more freedom to get a little bit forward. Though sometimes it's helped me to hold, to play in front of the back four, which I like to do that. I like to protect and serve my player, my teammates. But at the end of the day, you just have to try to do what's best for the team and what the team needs at that moment.
Heading to LA this weekend, and look, we've beaten this particular horse. The Rapids still looking for that first road win. But LA have got the worst home record in the league. If there's ever a time to get that first road win, then maybe this weekend is it.
Yeah, I think that it is, you know, because I think we need something to get. We need to get some points right now, you know, and I think it's everyone on the team is ready to get something, and I think we're prepared to get some points on the road with LA.
Missing Tim Howard, missing Mikel Williams, they'll be missing the Dos Santos brothers. That could potentially pit you against a Jermaine Jones. That could be some contest in the middle.
Yeah. It would be great, you know, but, you know, even though we're missing some players and they miss some players, you know, every player contributes, you know, no one is bigger than the team, and the team can always move forward with the players they have, and whichever player they pick on that day will be the best for that day to perform. So it doesn't matter who is here or who is not here. It's the guys who are here will be ready to perform.
And obviously the fans are wondering, and you might be able to give us some insight, wondering where Stefan Aigner is in his plans and preparation. What have you seen of him in training over the last week or so?
Oh, he's been great, you know, and like as at the beginning they said, you know, he's working on his fitness, but, you know, at first he's such a great guy, and after that he's been working hard on the field. You'd never see him complain. He's always positive and he's always giving us his best on the right midfield.
And a few weeks ago, week and a half, just over a week ago, you turned 30. Do Do you feel anything's different? It's kind of a landmark, isn't it? You've hit the number 30. How did you celebrate, first of all?
Oh, I was on the road with the guys, and the guys, they got me a cake. You know, that was so nice of the guys, and I'm appreciative of that. And it doesn't feel like, you know, like, it feels weird that they say, you know, you're 30, but it doesn't feel that way. And I just want to play as long as I can.
And how tough is that? I mean, talking from a family standpoint, and obviously, you know, you got a young family, being on the road on a special day, you know, your birthday, whether it was your 24th or 27th or 30th, being away, how did you get a chance to celebrate with the family when you got back?
Usually, so we had to celebrate before I left because they knew I was going to be on the road. I celebrated with my family. On Sunday. So that was, it gave me more time with them. So I got all my gifts that day from my family, which was nice. But then still when I came back, they had a few gifts for me, and I think that was nice. But mostly spending time with your family, that is more important.
And this is the LA game, back to the LA game. It would be the third of four road games in a row. Just give us a sense as an athlete, and people look at the on-field stuff. They say, oh, I'd love to be a soccer player. I'd love to be a sports person. But the rigors of the travel, just again, give us a sense of how tough that is, just traveling, waiting around in airports, you know, kind of coaches and hotels. How tough is that?
Yeah, it's really tough because, first of all, it puts you away from your family, and you don't sleep in your own bed. And just staying on the road is not that great. You know, a lot of people want to be, like, as you say, they want to play professional football, basketball, whatever. But being on the road is not that exciting, you know. Okay, you get to see different places, but at the end of the day, you'd rather be home. You know, you'd rather play at home in front of your crowds. And I think it's just because it's part of the deal we signed for, but it's something I never look forward to.
And the fans, obviously there was a decent contingent of fans at Rail Salt Lake, and I know you guys are in here working every day, working your tails off. That must be tough, that you're going into these places and you knew you got visiting fans, travelling fans, and you're just not quite able to get that result. Maybe, as we say, LA this weekend.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to thank all the fans who showed up in Salt Lake. We are so appreciative of their support and sticking with us in this time of the season. And if they come to LA too, we'll be thankful and it'll be nice. Hopefully we can give them something to celebrate about. But we are truly thankful for their support, and I'm glad that they were there.
And again, one final word about LA this weekend. It's, as I say, the third of four games on the road. Do you approach it different, knowing that they're missing key players, knowing that there is a bit of a struggle for them at home, and maybe there's a kind of a psychological barrier they have to overcome at home that you could maybe exploit?
Yeah, I think that would be good, you know, but at the end of the day, we need to be ourselves. Everyone needs to believe in one another, and we just need to get the job done, and we need to be able to press, win 1v1s and win second balls so we can create more chances, and most importantly, to put our chances. We just need to score goals and defend well.
We'll hear from Eric Miller before the end of the podcast, but first,
more important dates to remember.
It's the Cardale Homes Community Spotlight, where we tell you of events and initiatives involving the club. On Wednesday, August 30th, the Rapids held their first Team Fit Clinic presented by Ardent Mills and in association with Rocky Mountain Hospital for Children at the Vickers Boys and Girls Club of Metro Denver. The kids participated in agility drills led by Rapids performance analyst and strength coach Miguel Modolongo and the Rapids midfielder Marlon Hairston, while also learning about the importance of a healthy diet and lifestyle. Each child left with a lunchbox, T-shirt, and poster. The next Team Fit Clinic will be taking place on Wednesday, September 13th. And now to our third and final interview of the podcast. It's with a defender in his second season with the club. He's fast approaching 50 appearances for the Rapids and has seen both sides of the defensive coin, having been a key figure in the record-setting 2016 back line, as well as in 2017, when it's not been quite so pretty. Eric Miller has been in conversation with Dylan Gannon.
Eric, you guys just got back from RSL, had a decent week of training so far, halfway done through this road trip. Obviously, not the start you wanted, but, you know, how's the team feeling in that locker room right now?
Yeah, I think guys are excited. Guys are looking forward to the next couple games, kind of prove some things to some people around the league. Obviously, we've got some tough away games coming up. LA's a tough place to play. Houston's a tough place to play. But I think at this point, guys are really still, they're still going for it, and they're still trying to build something for the end of the season, and obviously looking forward to next season as well.
Now, for some of these younger guys, I mean, it gives them an opportunity to get some minutes and, you know, try to really cement their place in the lineup. I mean, has the energy around training and in the matches changed in that sense?
Yeah, I think a lot of the younger guys sort of are sniffing opportunities. I think I saw the same thing in Montreal my rookie season when we didn't have the best overall season as a team, but obviously in any situation there's opportunities for guys to kind of show what they can do. And obviously we've got a couple midweek games, so there's going to be a lot of guys getting chances to play, and guys have to show what they can do, and hopefully they do well and show that they can be part of the group moving forward.
Now for you yourself, you've been switched around from right back, left back, center back. How difficult has that been? Has it been tough trying to find a rhythm?
A little bit, but I think that's something that I kind of bring to the team. You know, I'm a utility guy. I can play in a lot of places. I've kind of started doing that since I got in the league in Montreal. I was right back, left back there. Started playing center back a bit more here. Even played in the middle of midfield there a little bit. So I think that's one of my qualities more than anything, that I can just play a lot of spots. And I think that's something that I continue to bring to the team as we kind of try to figure out what the best 11 for us is.
Now, heading to L.A., their home form has been almost shocking. I mean, it's been something that no one really expected. Is this the prime opportunity for you guys to get that monkey off your back and get those first 3 points on the road?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now this is probably the biggest game of our season, to be honest. I think going to L.A., it's a place where they haven't shown that they've been the L.A. Galaxy in the past, maybe at home, where it was a place where you're happy to get a draw or just keep things close. But I think now it's a big opportunity for us to kind of, like I said, prove a lot of people in the league wrong and kind of show that we are a quality team, that we do have quality players.
Now, you could be facing Jermaine Jones again. Is it always a little more fun facing one of your former teammates, especially when you guys had the success you had last season?
Yeah, it's always fun to play against guys that you train with a lot. It's fun to kind of see them. Obviously, we haven't seen Jermaine in a while, so it'll be really fun. He's a competitor, so I'm sure he's going to want to have his best game of the year against us, and we're going to want to have our best games of the year against him.
Definitely. Now, what will it take to get not just a good result this weekend, but, you know, to hopefully build some momentum as you guys look to turn the page heading into 2018?
I think it's just about sticking together as a group. I think we've done a great job of that here, of guys still fighting in every game, still working hard. And I think as long as we keep working for each other and keep working together, I think we're gonna figure this thing out. And I think obviously the last 9 games or so, we can really start to build some momentum for the offseason to carry it over into 2018.
There's Eric Miller with Dylan Cannon. Now it's time for parting shot. This part of the Rapids podcast brought to you by Lunasul Tequila. Made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques, Lunasul Tequila, one sip and you know. Richard Fleming, what do you know?
Well, this one is, I'm hoping to kind of deliver from the heart, because we all get involved with sport for so many reasons. It can be because you play, because you played, or simply because you gain so much enjoyment from watching whichever sport it is. Professional sports, though, as we know, is a business, and it's a business like no other. And those loyal to this particular business are like no other also. For one, when you make a decision to eat at a restaurant or buy groceries from a certain store, it's often based on a variety of factors: value for money, availability of goods and services, and occasionally it might be down to how well you've been treated. Now, if at any time you feel shortchanged, we know what'll happen. You'll take your custom elsewhere. When you attach yourself to a team within a sport, I imagine kind of the only similarity is you make a financial investment, and a fairly considerable one at that. But you are also making an emotional investment. And for me, that is a far stronger bond than any other business touting for your hard-earned dollar. And that's why fans should have every right to vent their frustration when things don't go as they'd liked. Sport, as we know, and we've talked about it already with the LA and Colorado Rapids history just over the last 11 months, can be a cruel mistress. It teases you with hope, it toys with your heart before absolutely, on occasions, letting you down. And we want fans. Every week, every home game, we ask for fans to show emotion, to cheer and to sing. We want passion, but that passion is not something that you can just switch on and off as it suits. And that's why I have absolutely every sympathy with the Rapids fans at the moment. The disappointment of 2014 and 2015, and then, hallelujah, 2016 comes around. And maybe, fans were talking, maybe that's the corner that has been turned. Maybe the dark clouds will have lifted. We raise our hopes. We start to believe. We may even get a little cocky as we kind of stand toe-to-toe with some of the senior teams in Major League Soccer. And then 2017. And sport can do that. And it's mean. And it's upsetting. And it's why we should never, ever, ever take what the fans offer us for granted. They'll get upset. Let them get upset. We ask for passion. Well, take the good and the bad that comes with demanding emotion and demanding passion. Because fans often feel powerless. We ask for their voices on a game day, but there may be times when fans feel without a voice. And that can be hugely, hugely frustrating. At the end of the day, we're all in this together. We all want success. And to the fans, first of all, thank you. And secondly, never stop caring.
It's a good parting shot from Richard Fleming. A reminder, this weekend, Rapids are at LA Galaxy for the only time in 2017. Coverage on Altitude Television with Rapids kickoff. Kicks off, see what I did there, at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that's on Altitude Television. We'll have the game for you live from StubHub Center on Altitude 950, altitude950.com on the radio. 9 p.m. Mountain Time, top of the hour. Mark Pertinoli gets your pregame show rolling. Facebook Live, we'll have a preview there as well, just after 8 p.m. Mountain Time, live from Los Angeles. And then we'll see what happens the following week, Richard Fleming. Of course, Houston Dynamo is on the horizon. Will the game be played is the first question. And if so, where? We'll figure that out in the coming days. Our prayers and support are with the Texas Gulf Coast and the city of Houston, who ironically celebrated its 181st birthday this week. We'll have more after LA and prior to Houston next week. As always, thanks for listening. For Dylan Gannon and Richard Fleming, I'm Connor McGahee. It's bye-bye.
The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.